Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing so many Dickersons in my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And Chris Ello.
I'll tell you why you do not want to hesitate to put Patrick Holmes in your lineup, because I am playing against him.
Well, I don't know who Patrick Holmes is, so.
All right, next story.
Give me another non-story there, slugger.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Jason Myers with a 42-yard field goal try on the grass, far hash. Good snap, ball put down. The right-footed kick is up, end over end. It is good! Seattle has won in overtime! And Seattle has won it in overtime, 27-24.
Jason Myers, the pride of modern-day Catholic High School in San Diego, California.
Another San Diego.
He was the hero in the end last night. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Full 4 hours on the phones with you today following a fantastic Monday night football game.
Finally.
And also, wait till you hear about this scandal in Major League Baseball. And Tony, I don't say the word scandal too often because I think it's an overused, you know, thing to get everybody's attention. But I think this has a chance to really blow up into something huge in Major League Baseball with this Houston Astros situation. We will talk about that and all kinds of other stuff, NBA and college football. We've got it all coming up for you in the next 4 hours. I was going to ask you how you're doing, but you ought to ask me how I'm doing, really.
We do. How are you doing today, Chris? Fresh off of surgery.
I am seriously. I was better yesterday.
Yeah.
When the surgery was over. What's that?
My phone, sorry.
Oh, I thought you were laughing. I was better. I got done with my thumb surgery yesterday at 2 o'clock, and I felt great. I was like, get me out of here. I got a show to do.
This was your first surgery ever.
I'd never had surgery before in my life, and I mean, obviously, I was on all of the anesthesia and all of the medicine that goes along with that, and I felt fine. And I was like, get me out of here so I can go do the show, and you guys were kind enough and said, hey, go rest, don't do it, et cetera. Well, I feel about 20 times worse today because all the pain medication is worn off.
It wears off, yes.
And now I am just like in total agony and pain. So
yeah, the first day.
That's me today.
The right after the surgery that day, you're good.
Yeah, like, you can do anything.
You can sleep, you can walk, you can eat. But that neck, once that pain meds wear off overnight, and it's a good thing that you're asleep when it happens, or you probably would be in more pain.
Yeah.
You wake up that next day feeling.
No, I felt terrible. I felt terrible all day today, but I knew I had to come in here because honestly, I'd rather come in and talk sports and hang out than sit at home and just be in pain. So, you know, we'll have some fun.
Makes sense.
Like they did last night, that 49er Seahawks game. I was, you know, I felt a little vindicated last night, to be honest with you, Tony.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, a little vindicated. Not totally vindicated. I think there's a lot of excuses for why Jimmy G had as bad a game as he did. And I think they're viable. I mean, you take George Kittle out, and then Emmanuel Sanders gets hurt early in the game. And that was two of his favorite weapons that he was without.
And Javon Clowney kind of decided
for the first time this season to play a game.
He was a problem for the Niners last night.
Yeah, and so he decided to play. And as a result, Jimmy G was flat out awful. I mean, his quarterback rating was 66, But I don't really look at stuff like that. I do look at the pick. I look at the strip sack. I look at the fumble he gave up for a touchdown. I look at the last drive of the game when they got the tying field goal. He threw three interceptions on that drive. The Seahawks dropped them all.
They did.
Otherwise,
they
the game did. Would have been over well before overtime. And then in overtime, Jimmy G was 1 for 7 for 4 yards or something like that. And San Francisco had plenty of chances to win. So, yeah, I feel bad because Jimmy G must be playing some good football this year or they wouldn't be 8-0. But if that's the only time you've ever seen him really play, and I think to a lot of people it was,
yeah.
He didn't win a lot of people over last night because he was really, really bad against the Seahawks defense that has been getting carved up lately too.
He looked skittish is what he looked like.
Is that what you thought?
He looked like he was seeing pressure when there wasn't pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one thing to have somebody like Javon Clowney in your face or around you, but there were times where the pocket was shrunk a little bit, and you could see his feet start to dance a little bit, and he'd throw a ball high, he'd throw a ball low, he'd throw it out of play.
All night long.
But on the flip side of that, Russell Wilson, who was going up against the number one defense in the league, and they, for the most part, for 3.5 quarters, they shut him down.
Yeah,
he got
you
loose.
Knew they weren't going to.
He makes the plays when his team.
Even
needs
though
him
he
most.
Threw an interception in overtime, which could have cost his team the game. I mean, that was a very
left
rare mistake by him. Left that pass short, and then the 49ers missed the field goal. But even with that, I think Russell Wilson took another step toward being the MVP.
I think you're right.
I just do. He is
Houdini.
Well, Kevin Harlan's great too, but he played had him.
321. Tony Gwynn Jr. Why does my mic sound like that? Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scrabier. Good to have you back, Chris.
That's why your mic sounds like that.
Probably.
Matt Scrabie. You finally found the answer.
He's back on the ones and twos again. It's not Thomas anymore. It's baseball off-season right now, but there's a lot of noise being made today.
Baseball's going to be in the middle of something they don't want to be in
right,
the middle of.
Right, right. It's one thing you want to have. You want the
you
everybody,
want some publicity.
Yeah, you want people to think about your game, but you don't want it along these lines.
I've heard people say there is no such thing as bad publicity.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. This is bad publicity
indeed
for baseball.
Indeed it is. An article done by The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal came out today and had Mike Fiers, a former Astro,
right.
Who's now with the Oakland A's.
In their division.
One of many people who spoke on this particular article talking about the Astros. And so, you know, I've been on this air saying how good the Astros are. I've been on air saying a couple of different things about the Astros. I've been on air saying, man, there's something going on there. I've also been on air saying, you know what, man? And this was as of late. Maybe they're just that good at picking signs, you know.
Finding
your tail
right.
And using it against you.
Yes.
Well,
and you'd actually been complimentary to them
I have.
For doing such a great job on
I've
that.
Gotten on board after kind of feeling like, man, there's something doesn't
there's
seem right.
There's something's a little fishy, but.
I got past it. I didn't want to be a hater. You know,
right.
I got past it, and I said, you know what? Maybe they're just that good, especially after watching the work they put together against Glasnow in that Tampa series. And that was an easy one, but you still got to go out and execute it, and they done it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of moved off of it. Even after Stross pitched in Game 6 and came out after his start and said they had something
they had
on me in the first, which is the only time they scored against them, and he was just smart enough to catch it and being able to change on the fly. Well, according to Ken Rosenthal, that's not the case.
Yeah, this is big stuff. Right
they here. Are using technology, a practice that would run afoul of the rules against using technology for an advantage, and it's prompting an investigation by Major League Baseball. That's how serious this is. The fact that, because remember, Major League Baseball already did an investigation during the playoffs from the Yankees. The Yankees accused them of whistling when certain pitches were coming, and MLB found it to be nothing. So the fact that they're going back to investigate.
Major League Baseball is taking this seriously enough to where
yes.
They are going to have an investigation into this. The Astros say they will, quote, cooperate with the investigation, and they're not going to have anything to say at this time. That always tells you that you're covering something up, doesn't it? I mean, wouldn't you just come out and say, absolutely not, we didn't do any of this. Major League Baseball can look all they want. They're not going to find anything. Hey, the Astros are concerned that they might find something. And here's the thing. This story that was written by Ken Rosenthal, and there was another story concurrent with this one as well, talks about how the Astros were doing this. Now, it doesn't just accuse them of stealing signs. It actually lays out the way they were doing it.
Yes,
and
it
apparently
does.
What they were doing was they had a camera out in center field at their home games. By the way, they were 60-21 at home this year. One of the best home records in the history of baseball. Anyway, Just throw that in. But they had a camera out in center field that was trained on the catcher's position,
yes,
and where he gives his signs. I almost said it was trained on the catcher's crotch, but that really wouldn't have been too cool.
Also true.
But
it was on there because he wanted the signs.
Right. So they're trying to get the signs. So they get the signs, and then there was guys watching the camera in the runway between the dugout and the clubhouse, and they would see a changeup or an off-speed pitch called for, and they were banging a bat or something against a wall or something that the batter would be able to hear up at home plate to know that a changeup was coming. And apparently, when it was a fastball, there was no sound made at all.
Yeah, Bleacher Report has the video of Danny Farquaad, I think, was the pitcher for the Chicago White Sox.
Right.
They even have quotes from him because in the video, you could hear the banging on the changeup. And on the third changeup he threw, maybe it was a fourth changeup, he hears the banging, he steps off, calls his catcher out to have a discussion about it because he knows something up. And when you watch the video, it's for somebody who played the game and has been in that box before, they were some quality changeups that you might foul off one or two, but you're not fouling off all of them.
Unless you know they're coming.
And gosh, who was the big guy? No batting gloves for the Astros that year in 17. He played for the Braves for a little bit. I cannot remember his name. But
oh, yes, Evan Gattis.
Evan Gattis is at the plate, fouling off all of these pitches. Fastball, changeup. He calls him out after he hears the bang in Farquaad, after he calls his catcher out. They go back. They punch him out on the very next pitch.
Hmm.
And it's just like, wow, if that's the case, clearly. And they're not. It's not as though they're picking it up from the pitcher. They're getting it off of a screen in the tunnel.
They're flat out cheating.
That's straight up.
And the old saying is, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. This is a different situation.
This is way different.
This is flat out cheating. This is like putting a microphone into the huddle of an NBA coach. This is like being able to hear everything that Belichick says to his coordinators before every play, which of course the Jets, which I think the Patriots were accused of one time or another. But hey, look. This is really bad, and I don't want to go as scandalous as like the 1919 Black Sox when the White Sox, Chicago White Sox, then threw the World Series. I don't want to go that. That could have taken baseball down forever 100 years ago. But this is something that Major League Baseball is not only going to have to address, but if they find out it's true, and my goodness, there's a lot of stuff already to back up that it is true, there's going to have to be some penalty to the Houston Astros that may really have never been given out before. I don't know what it is, Tony, because I think a simple fine to the organization is not enough. I mean, I'm thinking almost of putting an asterisk next to their name winning the 2017 World Series.
There's going to be a lot of things in consideration when it comes
yeah.
to punishment. If they find out to be true. Now, I want to talk about Mike Fiers real quick, because even myself would wonder, well, why'd you
yeah,
wait?
Yeah, that's right.
Wait 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, now he's pitching for Oakland now. He told The Athletic that he warned teammates with not only the A's, the Detroit Tigers when he was there, that the Astro hitters had used a video feed piped into a monitor near the dugout to decode signs and relate to hitters during the game. And here's what he said. Here's his quote. I just want the game to be cleaned up a little bit because there are guys who are losing their jobs because they're going in there not knowing. Young guys getting hit around in the first couple of innings, starting a game, and then they get sent down. It's BS on that end. It's ruining jobs for younger guys. The guys who know are more prepared, but most people don't. That's why I told my team we had a lot of young guys with Detroit in 2018 trying to make a name and establish themselves. I wanted to help them out and say, hey, this stuff really goes on. Just be prepared.
Yeah, that explains why he would wait to say something, because he's not going to say something while he's with the Astros.
Right.
But as soon as he's playing against the Astros and he sees his guys,
and he thinks the other team, he knows the other team.
He knows the other team is cheating and stealing the signs 100%. And ripping these guys. I mean, the Tigers haven't gotten anybody out for 2 years, especially the Astros.
He knew so they needed the help.
They needed that. They couldn't overcome this. So that's why Fiers apparently said something. There's other guys involved in this. There's evidence. There's tape. There's video. There's sound. This is no good. I mean, this is no good. And I don't know where baseball is going to go here, but they're going to have to do something, and they may end up having to do something heretofore unheard of, and I don't know exactly what that would be yet.
On Twitter, there's a pretty great video breaking this down, and I just retweeted it from 97.3 The Fan SD on Twitter. You need to see this, because it really does make sense of what Tony and Chris are talking about
now. Is the Danny Farquhar pitching sequence that I'm talking about. You'll see him step off and all of that, but I have a feeling this is going to get messy before it gets cleared up. We're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, Padres offseason is, I feel like it can finally get underway now. You got your uniforms done. You got your manager done.
By the way, thank you for Instagramming out the uniforms, because I wasn't going anywhere near the ballpark Saturday night. But thankfully, I looked at my phone a little while later. There were all the new uniforms, courtesy of Tony Gwynn Jr. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And there's a lot of people, in terms of this offseason, there's a lot of people wondering about Steven Strasburg heading San Diego's way. We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
Believe it.
The Fan.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris, 3:36. Chris Ello here. Tony Gwynn Jr. there.
Can I say something real quick?
Please.
Jadeveon Clowney. I messed up his name earlier.
Oh, did you? Well.
Apparently, I was calling him Javon.
If we had to go back.
Jadeveon.
If you and I had to go back and correctly pronounce all the names we have mispronounced, we wouldn't get through much of the show.
I don't even know if I can say that's a mispronounce. I just left out letters.
You just didn't even know his name. You just didn't know his name. Look, what's the one I messed up? Patrick Holmes?
Yes, Patrick Holmes.
The new quarterback for the Chiefs. Yes. So, anyway, it happens. Look, we say a lot of names over the day. One name I got right, though, I believe, is Rocco Baldelli.
Yes.
I believe that's how you pronounce it. He has just been named the American League's Manager of the Year. I don't think that's a shocker to anybody. Led the Minnesota Twins to the American League Central Championship, taking out the Cleveland Indians. And I'd say the Twins were a good surprise this year. I still think Aaron Boone deserves some pretty serious consideration for it, though, with all the injuries the Yankees had. But it is tough to be manager of the year of the Yankees unless you win, like, 200 games. Because everybody just expects that the Yankees are going to be so good because of all the money they spent.
You're pretty much going to have to lose, like, in the 30s.
In the 30s.
You have to win 130-plus games.
I think Joe Torre was, like, manager of the year for the Yankees, like, one time, maybe.
And we know the kind of teams they had.
Yeah, and they were the best team in the thing every year. So Rocco Baldelli wins the American League Manager of the Year. I assume they'll announce the National League Manager of the Year tomorrow. And I don't know. Brian Snitker, Atlanta, he's won it already. I don't know who's it going to go to. I know it's not going to be Andy Green.
No.
That I know. That's about all.
Poor Andy Green.
Sorry, he's not going to win the award. I mean,
he is not going to win the award.
Dave Roberts, I think, always. Dave Roberts is in the same position as Aaron Boone.
Yeah, he's not even a finalist.
No matter how many wins he gets, they don't even think of him.
Yeah, they just completely left him off the list because of that.
And then I'm not going to mention the St. Louis Cardinals manager's name because I have a good chance of mispronouncing it and saying a bad word.
Yes, you could.
Right?
Yes, you could.
Mike S., I believe, is his last name. So, anyway, we'll see about the National League Manager of the Year. Padres uniforms. I didn't get a chance to come on yesterday to give my fashion report. That anybody really ever
What'd
wants
you think?
To hear my fashion report. I thought the same thing you did because I listened to your breakdown. My favorite uniforms of the three are alternates. Love those so much that I like want to get one.
Yeah, that's
the brownish San Diego with the pinstripes. that they'll probably wear three times all next season.
Gosh.
Those are my favorite ones by a mile. I think the other two are good, and, you know, they got the Brown back. I think they didn't want to go too crazy. They just went very, you know, straight up, kind of, you know, almost like Penn State. Just,
yeah, brown and gold.
You know, white, brown, gold, straight up. But, you know, I have no problem with the home and the road uniforms. I like them, but I really like those other ones. So that's my take on it, I guess.
Yeah, those are sweet. I like both of the, as I said, I like both of the pinstripes. I think I'm going to do my vlog on it this week about the uniforms.
Uniforms. Isn't it funny how big uniforms are? I mean, when you think about it, they have absolutely nothing to do with anything. It's the guys in the uniforms that are going to determine the games. But uniforms mean so much to fans. How many people were down there Saturday night?
It was, they seemed like there's 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people
at
down
least,
there.
There
was,
right?
A lot of people.
Yeah.
By the way, next year's the first year Nike takes over the helm for uniforms in Major League Baseball. It's been done by Majestic for
years. I did not know that.
Now Nike takes over.
Nike got that contract, huh?
They did. Yeah. You know what I really like about the uniforms, especially the spin stripes, is the piping. The two different color piping they have going on the bottom of the sleeves and around the collar. I think that is a crispy look right there.
That is a crispy look that I could not detect on the Tony Gwynn photos that were given to me on Instagram. You got to stand right next to those guys.
I
with
did.
The uniforms
and I'm
on,
looking
so
at them right
it.
Now. So you can.
Yeah. I didn't see that, but I really like the uniforms overall. It's not going to help them win a game, but it's going to make everybody happy for a while. And, you know, it's going to get them some more money, too, because most fans will go out and buy the new uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be one of them.
I'll be one of them. Real quick, Dexter wants to talk about the new uniforms. Let's sneak him into the program here. Hey, Dexter. What's up, man?
Hi, guys. How's it going? Glad you're feeling better, Chris.
Thank you.
Hey, so like the new unis, I mean, I've heard complaints about like, why isn't it blue or where's the orange? And it reminded me of something of Tony Gwynn Sr. once said about the Padre unis when he came up. And he hated the original unis that they had when he played ball, because he called, like in the 84 series, he called them the Taco Bell uniforms.
Yes, he did.
Because they looked like the Taco Bell wrappers. And he said that his favorite one was the 98 unis, if I'm correct.
The one that they went to the World Series against the Yankees.
Yeah, with the blue and the orange.
Blue and orange, yeah.
But I like the new uniforms because they're back to the original, like, Dave Winfield era colors, you know?
No, they're before the taco extra uniforms.
Yeah, yeah. And you know why the orange was included, right?
No. Why don't you break it down for us?
Because the San Diego Chicken. When the San Diego Chicken made his debut, his costume was supposed to reflect all of the colors of all of the San Diego teams. But just before he made his debut, the Clippers changed their colors to red, white, and blue. So they took out their orange. Ray Kroc stepped up and said, "Well, okay, I'll just add orange to Padres."
How about that?
Interesting. Didn't know that, Dexter.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah. But I'm also glad that they took it out because, I mean, it's an unnecessary color, to be honest.
Could you imagine orange being in the uniforms that you've seen it?
There'd be no
place to fit it. It doesn't seem like it's.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wouldn't work.
The best thing of all is this: when I turn on MLB Network now, and they're showing highlights, I am going to know when they're showing the Padres.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait and squint and look at the TV three or four times to figure out, is that Tampa Bay? Is that Milwaukee? Is that, you know, Kansas? Whatever it is. I'm now going to know for sure it's the Padres. And that's my number one reason for me wanting them to make the change in the first place. So, good call, Dexter. Thank you, man. All right, speaking of calls, we're taking a few. 833-288-0973. We have a little Chris versus the fans coming up shortly. But you wanted to talk for a second, Tony, about who might still be wearing those uniforms for the Padres. This always concerns me when I see a story that's headlined, Yankees interested in Cole and Strasburg.
That really
concerns me because I know the Padres can't outbid the Yankees.
You know what's funny is I saw that title, you were the first person I thought, this isn't going to make
Chris isn't going to be happy about
Chris
this.
Very happy.
Yeah, because if they want those guys, they have a better than average chance of getting them, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's how it goes.
Listen, there are a lot of players around the league that would like to play on that stage in New York. So sure. that alone is enticing, right? And then you add the fact that they've had some success here lately. They've had success in their organization. Yeah. There's tradition there. So that's one of those things I think that a lot of players tend to gravitate towards. But I want to talk a little bit about the Padres because Kevin Acey, who covers the Padres, is in the know. He said it's not likely the Padres go after Cole or Strasburg, rather use that money. They are trying to raise their payroll somewhere mm-hmm. between $120 and $130 million, which puts them in the middle of the pack.
That'd be nice.
Which is an upgrade. And so I think the thinking is that they don't really want to spend it all on one player. They got some things they want to do. Maybe bringing in the Wheeler's name comes up in this article among some other pitchers that they want to go after. So there's no doubt about it, though, at least according to AC and sources around Major League Baseball, the Padres are expected to be very active, not only in free agency, but probably more importantly in the trade market come in these next couple of weeks.
I think a couple of things, too, also, Tony. Last year proved, unfortunately for the Padres, that they need more than one big thing to get over the hump. So that makes sense. I mean, if they played well enough last year to where you were sitting there going, boy, they just have that one hole in the starting rotation, then you could go out and spend all your money on the starting rotation. But the Padres have way more holes than that. So they're going to have to spread it around.
Just a real quick question. I said between 120 and 130 is actually between 130, 140 million. If they did nothing at all right now, their payroll is expected to be around 120 going into the season. So they want to push it anywhere between $10 to $20 million, which is a good sign.
That is a good sign. Let's hope they do it correctly, make all the right calls. And in those new brown uniforms, they will wear their alternates a lot.
Hopefully
they'll get on a hot streak with the alternates like the Nationals did in the World
Series. They don't want to take them off.
Nationals wore those blue things. They're still wearing them.
They probably are.
Yeah. So you get a hot streak with a uniform, you keep wearing it. But anyway, well, hopefully those uniforms will be filled with some good new players. So.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
He'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
All right, let's move along. We got a little, Chris versus the fans scrape?
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Chris versus the fan is our trivia game. Play pretty much every day. You have a chance to win prizes if you can knock me off. Frankly, the name of the game is a good game, but it's a little misleading because in a lot of ways you don't really even have to beat me. You just have to get the three questions right. You do that, I am not involved at all. Right, Scrape?
Yes.
Trevor, but... are you listening to the show today? Or are you off in
I am listening to the show.
You look like you're on the medications I was on yesterday after the surgery.
That would be a big problem for me.
Well, that's kind of how you're reacting, though, right now.
You're back in a 30-day treatment.
Well, we don't want
you
that.
You are definitely a little slow to respond.
You are a little
right
slow
now,
to respond.
Which usually means your head is not here.
It is here. I wanted to say, since it's the Thanksgiving month, instead of howdy do, should I replace it with this?
Gobble, gobble.
He was over there devising on you.
Boy, am I happy that we asked him what he was thinking
gobble,
of over
gobble.
There.
Gobble.
Okay, all right, we got it.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, you have a chance to move on to the next question or win.
And the winner today is going to get a family four-pack of movie passes to San Diego's hometown theater, Ultra Star Cinema in Mission Valley. And for those of you who know movies, you know this is a good time of year to win some movie passes.
Frozen 2 is coming out?
No, not for that.
I'm going to go see it.
Well, I know you will. But most people actually choose to see really good movies at this time of year.
Frozen was an amazing movie.
Oh, whatever.
Tony, do you see Frozen?
I've seen it a billion times.
He's got
times.
Kids. How many times do you think he's seen
that
movie?
The reason why I rolled my eyes when you said Frozen. Did you? It literally, I probably heard the movie
he hasn't
about
memorized.
1,000 times before I saw it because it plays in my car.
Let it go.
Yeah. I don't want to hear Let It Go.
All right. Anything that leads to Scraby singing cannot be a good thing.
I love to sing.
Let's get to the Total Divas.
All right. Here we go. First game. Contestant, Miles in Borrego Springs. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. How you doing today, Miles?
I'm doing good today, TG. How you doing? Hello. Thumbs up.
Thumbs, no, I got one
I
thumb.
I love it.
I think that's funny. I think the better way would be thumb up. I have one.
Thumb up.
But the other one not working too well.
Let's get to it, Miles. First question. I figured there'd be 49er questions in here today. Here we go. What is the name of the stadium the 49ers play in?
Levi Stadium
is correct.
Where'd my dinger go?
Thank you. You're a little slow today.
Clip.
A little slow. Where'd my dinger go? Here we go.
All right. Why does that not get made into a promo?
Oh, it will be. It will be. Second question, Miles. Which team drafted Ohio State's Maurice Claret in the third round in the 2005 NFL draft?
Claret, running back, he would have went to the Oakland Raiders.
That is incorrect. Chris for the
steal. Stay there.
Miles, I think I know this one, though, because I think it was wasn't it a Josh McDaniels flub? I think he was the Denver Broncos. If it wasn't a Josh McDaniels flub, it was a Mike Shanahan flub, but whoever
coached
him.
You're correct.
Sorry, Miles. Miles is upset.
Good work, wow. Miles. Sorry Chris
Miles.
Got that answer right.
Thumbs
all right.
up, Miles. That's what you get.
2005, I have to think, is Shanahan, right?
Yeah, probably still Shanahan.
All right.
Anyway. Dan in El Cajon, welcome to Gwen and Chris. How are you doing today?
Hey, Dan.
We're great, guys. Very good.
All right, here we go. First question. What position did Ryan Tannehill previously play in college before he switched to QB?
Safety.
What did you say?
Safety.
Said safety.
Is incorrect. Chris.
I believe he was a receiver.
I believe you are correct.
Sorry, Dan.
Nice work. Sorry, Dan. All right.
By the way, Tannehill had a hell of a finish the other day against Kansas City.
He did. We gave him some love on the show.
Good. A little love for Ryan. I'm glad he's able to do that now that he's no longer on my team.
Well, they fired him up by sending him away.
Yeah, maybe so. He's got that job right now. I mean, Mariota's deep on the bench right now.
It's a wrap for Mariota, at least in Tennessee. All right, Pete and La Mesa, welcome back to the show. Peter, how are you doing today?
Very good, Tony. How are you?
Very well. Here we go. First question. What team was Kyle Shanahan the offensive coordinator for before he was head coach at the 49ers?
Washington
is incorrect.
That's what I was going to guess.
Really?
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan, I thought he was with his dad in Washington.
He was.
Oh, but he snuck somewhere else before coming to the 49ers, apparently. But luckily for Pete, I don't know where it was. Denver.
Denver?
Just stay with that.
Is incorrect.
Wow.
Pete, you move on to the next round. The answer is the Atlanta Falcons.
I should have just picked a lousy offense. I would have found where Kyle Shanahan was.
Here we go.
Did you see that poop he put out there last night, Scraby? Come on.
That was
it him or Jimmy G, though?
It was Jimmy G.
It was George Kittle wasn't there.
All right.
Evidently, George Kittle is the MVP in the National Football League. Because
a lot of people say he is.
Because without
nobody
him,
says he's the MVP of the National Football League.
Because without him, old Jimmy G was lost.
Pete, here we go. Question number two.
A lot of people named Scraby.
Yes, exactly. How many times has LeBron James won the NBA MVP?
Four.
Wow, nice work, Pete.
Hey!
That is correct.
I did not think that was going to be so easy.
We're moving on.
It wasn't. He just got it.
To question number three.
Good job, Pete.
Who was the first NFL player to be featured in a Campbell's Chunky Soup commercial with their mother?
I'm proud of this one.
Earl Campbell
is incorrect.
That would make sense, though. Earl Campbell doing a Campbell's Chunky Soup one. Nice try. You know, I remember these commercials. Mean Joe Green.
No,
he was Dr. Pepper. Eh, whatever. Diet Coke. I don't know. That's my answer.
Is incorrect.
Wow. Good job, Pete.
Pastor Reggie White was the first one.
Wow.
With their mother.
Congratulations, Pete.
Thank you.
Way to go, Pete.
You won again.
The movie tickets today to UltraStar Cinema in Mission Valley. I remember those spots. I remember some of the NBA guys doing them as well. Didn't Grandmama do a couple of those?
I don't know. Did she? I think he might have.
I think he did it as Grandmama.
Right. Well, he was doing all his commercials
Larry
as Grandmama.
Larry Johnson was hilarious, man. Who could come up with that character and
UNLV.
That? Yeah. They produce some the Tark.
Yeah, speaking of UNLV and that terrific squad, did you see Greg Anthony's son is killing it for North Carolina?
Oh, is that the kid who scored the 34 points in his first game out?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I didn't know there was the connection between the two.
Everybody singing was it LaMelo? LaMelo? Is it LaMelo or LiAngelo? Which one is it? Which
don't ask me.
Which
you know me,
ball
know
is it
that's
supposed
things.
To be the number one?
LaMelo.
He won't be drafted ahead of this kid, I don't think.
By the way, speaking of college basketball, nice win for the Aztecs over the weekend.
Indeed, it was up in Provo. Too.
In Provo.
And on the other side, nice loss for the Aztecs in football.
I wouldn't say nice. Yeah,
watch your language in here.
What's the matter with you, man? Like that.
You tell me I'm not engaged.
You're not. That's why you're saying ridiculous stuff like that.
I mean, we don't have to worry about the Aztecs going to the Cotton Bowl anymore, but
that still doesn't mean it was nice.
Kirk Kenny busted her bubble on
that
one.
He did. You know what? As soon as he did that, the whole season kind of took a turn for the right.
No
Kirk,
reason for
I hope you're listening, Kirk.
Kirk,
knock it off.
Man. All right, Aztecs get Fresno State football this week. Hopefully they can win that, still get into the Mountain West Conference Championship game. Greg Camarillo joins us to talk NFL football when we come back, so stick around for that. Gwen and Chris on 97.3, The Fan, San Diego's sports talk leader. Gobble, gobble.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.